we were up to the what we call the bodily preparations for tefillah, which the Rizal bases on the, he never literally like quotes the whole thing because his structure is somewhat different, and this is a question that I've had since forever. I don't have the answer, but there's this famous memory from Rabbi Yechanan in Masechtas Brachos where he said, "Roitzeh sheikabel olav al malchus shemayim shlema yifne v'yitel yodo v'niach tefillin v'yikra kriya shema v'yispalin." And that is all based on this saying, tries to build part of his structure of how every tefillah shachris is supposed to work. And of course, we have the double structure because we have the basic structure of four elements that everyone knows, which is four parts of shachris. And that is also, that's only about the pimius. In other words, that has to do with words that we say or thoughts that we have or more internal stuff. But there is also a chitzonius of the four elements. And those that chitzonius needs to have the same, almost the same. Not that there's some differences, but needs to also have some kind of tikkun, some kind of elevation by through the tefillah. And that is a basis on this saying, which is yif nevit al yodav in olam ha'asiyah. Yeneach tefillin, which one did we skip? Which one did I say? Then he has, I'm forgetting. Yeah, tzitzis, which the Bechman skipped in his memra, which is funny because if you look actually in the Mefarshim on that gemara, they're like wondering, so why did he skip tzitzis? And some of them say, well, tzitzis has got nothing to do with davening, it's just a separate thing. But the Arizal actually did put in tzitzis, so he wrapped in tzitzis for Olam HaYetzirah, and then two types of tefillin for Olam HaBriyah and Olam HaTzilis, because tefillin shel yad for Olam HaBriyah, tefillin shel rosh for Olam HaTzilis. And these are the four actions for, we could call them bodily or embodied parts of the davening, which are connected to figuring out, or to being metaken, or to being male. These four elements in chetzonius, the level. And in this itself, there's thousands of different details, which that is all seems to get confused people about, like what exactly is this part? Because like here we have Yif and Vitl Yodov, which are both Olam HaAsiyah. So one is maybe sometimes he says that it's partially Olam HaYetzirah or Yetzirah Sheva HaAsiyah or all kinds of chilukim like that I cannot get into because I don't know right now, and probably you're not interested in too much. But that's a whole other. But in general, that's the structure that he has. Now, one important chilek to notice is that what he said, and I think it said in the beginning of this drush. It's not here. This is right at the beginning of everything, but it's in the next drush. The second time he says this whole story. Basically, this whole story is twice because over here, where we started, there is just going through the details of like what's the kavanah of Amtilas Yidayin, what's the kavanah of Ashiyotzar, and so on. And then later, there's another drish called Drish Tfilas Hashacha. This is Drish Hashacha, and then it's Drish Tfilas Hashacha, so it's confusing. But over there, he kind of goes back to define the structure better. And over there, he explains that there's two different kind of things that we could do, even with Chitzonius HaElemus. We could be Ma'alevim, which is one great thing to do. But the first thing we need to do is to push away the klippas. And there's a difference in this because in higher worlds, like in Olam HaBriyah and Olam HaAtzilus, there's not really klippas to push away. So we only talk about being mala then, in other words, getting the Olam HaBriyah into Olam HaAtzilus and also all the other ones, but that's talking about the premise of them. Mashenka, when we talk about right in the beginning, in other words, the first few seconds, the first two moves of the day, are not really about getting the Olam HaAsiyah, at least this part of it, into the Olam HaYetzirah and so on. It's really about dealing with the klippos, which are not letting us get anywhere. So we need to first be mafrid, because being mafrid the klippos from the Olam HaAsiyah. And after we pushed away the clippers, then we could start dealing with the good parts and get them off and so on. Now this very obviously corresponds to the first two, to the first two actions, which are Yifne Vitol Yodov, which are literally getting out the dirt, right? Getting getting the getting the dirt out of your body and off your body. Now, since he mentioned dirt, you have to define it, that is, and this is what we went through last time, so I'm not gonna repeat it, and there's no recording, so it's lost to history. But Arizal, in the piece that we learned last week, defined the dirt or the psoilis, he calls, which are the psoilis that we push out with Yifna. And really it's a very important thing in Arizal's whole system, because to the Arizal, kol olam kilay, or kol avayda kilay, is only doing birurim, getting the toiv out of the ra, and consistently and continuously are refining, and refining in the sense of like oil refinery. Like we start off with a whole bunch, at least after Shriya Sakhalin, and we start off with everything being jumbled in together with all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of reality and all of that. And literally Bria Sa'ilam or Bria Sa'ilam Atikin Barizal is really the Melech Hasbayra. He sees that as like the big, most important Melech, or the most important thing in the world, which is getting the good out of the bad. Now, good and bad are relative concepts for the Arizal here, for sure. In other words, what's good for me is bad for you. What's dirt for me might be clean for you, and so on. And what that really means is, for example, then when the Arizal starts, I'm just going to give this story very shortly. When the Arizal starts the whole Olam HaTikun, he's going to explain how the first, the most elevated level, like the parts of Aleph of Atzilus, or whoever is the first one, would is going to be Boyda La'atzma. He gets first choice, right? And not only like story, like he gets the first choice, but he is, his, the definition is by taking the most purest parts, or the most clearest parts, or the most simple, most obviously good parts of Olam, of the Olam Mashvira, of the Olam Mashvira, and creating from that his pattern. And then, but there's like a sifter, there's like a some kind of process, which is the sifter, which is the getting the good out of the bad, getting the oichel metach psoilis. And then he pushes out the psoilis. So he, Arizal always reads it like a person eating. So when you eat, and basically when you do a lot of other things that you do, but eating is a very big metaphor for him, or a very big, not only metaphor, right? When you actually eat, you're supposed to do that too. Which is that when you eat, you're basically taking in all of the, whatever junk, whatever reality gives you. And then you, there's a whole long list of siftings, right? You can chew it with your teeth, which is one bitter one. It gets like Meleches Toichen, sometimes that people calls it, like in a different level. But we got, you know, we refined it a little so we could get it and get into your stomach, and then your stomach and all kind of different levels of processing the food and taking the nutrients out, taking what you need out, and then. And there's a long, long process that Arizal would say that this was like how they understood the medicine. I'm not sure how it's exactly like that in the actual body, but something like that, where the sense of like the best part of the food goes to your brain, and the less good parts will go to your heart or to your body and so on, to your blood and to all the other systems. In other words, there's like a line. So the first is the moach, or would take the best part of the food, whichever part the brain needs or the mind needs. And then he has psoilis, right? So then what he doesn't need, he gives to the next guy. And then the next guy says, well, that's great for me. So he takes that. And then so on and so on. And so each time we're, you know, like the story with the Rebbe from Lublin, where he was throwing his Averis in the river for Tashla. And the Rav Shtirov was there, and he said he came to grab the Rebbe's Averis. Right? So because the Rebbe's Averis are really not Averis. So really for the Rebbe, What he throws out is still very good for normal people. And just that's not good enough for him. In the same sense, the Olam Atzilus, what he threw out, can go to the Olam Abriya, and it's perfect for them. Now, and now, what's interesting is that when we get to the very, very, very end, in other words, what the last Olam couldn't process, what the Olam Asiya, or whichever level you want to call the last, very last one, could not use, that becomes total garbage, or relative to the Olam of Kedusha, it becomes total garbage. And then, at the end, there's Chetzoinim, which get that their Chiyas is from the literal Tzaya. That's what the Arizal says of the Zohar, is called Tzaya, because that's literally what's after. In other words, it's really, there's like really a spectrum from the beginning until the end. There's nothing really different in the structure of it from the Tzaya of Olam of the Zohar, and what's a Tzaya for Olam HaAtzilus to the Olam HaBriya. Just one more level where that gets called Klippas. And that's basically the story. And then the Rizal, we went this last week, so the Rizal tries to define the difference between different kinds of Yifne. There's this G'doylem and K'tanim, which connect to the concept of Punim and Achtahim. So K'tanim are from Punim, so it's kind of a better bitter. So it's not such big Klippas. And then there's G'doylem, which are even bigger Klippas. But in any case, he connects that to the hair of the beard and the hair of the head. The hair of the head has to do with ach, has to do with the hair that goes down in the back, and then the hair that you have in the beard in the front, and these connect somehow to the two kinds of it backwards, because the beard is actually the back and the hair of the head is actually the front. But in any case, that's we discussed that last time more clearly. In any case, that the yifna is to like push away those clippers, those undigestible parts, and have them get them out of the way. And, you know, maybe at some point they'll get digested in some other way. And there's a whole drishan that's kind of about that, but I'm not going to get into it. So it has to do with the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, which has to do with Baal Pa'od. Okay, I just told you the amount of mukim. And that's the action, just to put the note, that's the action of Yifna, the actual bodily action, which is actually to be mevated there. This is the kavanah of Vesakisa itself, not the kavanah of the Brocha Ashiyotza or anything else, which is already another stage on top of that. That is, literally says in Shara Mitzvah that when you go to the bathroom, you have to be mechavan this, and he's like, you should do mechavan it before you walk into the bathroom, because maybe in the bathroom you shouldn't be doing kavanahs, but in any case, that's what it is. Now there's another part, which is another action to get your body ready for tefillah, which is yitl yadav, which is nitlas yadayim. Now nitlas yadayim was very interesting to Arizal, and actually there's a lot of kinds of nitlas yadayim, right? So there's nitlas yadayim the tefillah, there's nitlas yadayim from the morning, which is not the exact same thing as nitlas yadayim the tefillah, at least according to the way that Arizal understands it. If you look in Arichaim, you'll see there's some machlokes about this. But at least the way he understands it is that there's a special kind of klippa, a special kind of either dirtiness or klippa, which are the same thing to him, which has to do with sleeping, at night, with the night. And then the neglevasa in the morning is going to take care of that. And if you read in the next part, when he gets into the action over here, where he gives you the exact way to do it, which is you have to do three lesirugin, and based on the idea that there's some kind of rechatima, which is called shifsa, which has a name too, and it doesn't get off until you do that. I think the trick is that you have to, at least the logic of this is that it's like it keeps on jumping to the other hand. There's like something missing that, but in other words, if you do it at once, it's just gonna hover and come right back. So what you do it is like you trick it. It's like this shed that you're tricking. And this is like shedim get tricked by doing, if you do the chain trick three times, it loses track, basically. So you get it off one hand and then it goes, okay, I can't be here, so it goes to the other hand. And then you're like, wait, I got you here too. So then next one. And after a few times of doing that, it got a little confused and it just disappeared. That's the logic of it, of the demonology logic. But there's a study in this. If you'll understand what Arizal's kavana of the three hands are, you understand what it really means. But first, we have to do the first part of this, which is that's already talks about, or actually in the Kavana of the Bracha, talks about three hands and how they work. But in the beginning, he talks about, and I'm on to here, where he talks about the cleaning of the body itself. And he says like this, and this is important at least to understand somewhat, which is Kimoshia Saris Vadim Elindasya, and which we explained that the Saris are connected to the Yithna, which it's a whole problem how the Saris got all the way down there. But that's a whole other discussion which we spoke about last time. But besides for the here, so the, in other words, Darizal's look on the body is always that there are dangerous zones in the body, just like there are in the world. Like if you have, look at the world in general, you'll see there's like there's cities and there's towns and there's deserts and oceans and black holes and all kinds of things like that. The human body has like safe zones, like, you know, like in your mind, that's the primary safe zone for that reason. Maybe in your heart, maybe in your actions and so on. And there are also literally, if you look on your body, you could see both. You could see in your body some extras. That's what he calls maestros. That's what he calls, he's very interested in the concept of here. I mean, from the Zohar and in the Idra, very interested in the concept of here. Because here is some kind of weird thing where it's kind of part of you and not part of you. So it's like, they always see it as coming out of some extra, some overgrowth. Like it's a part of you that you could just cut off with a scissor. And so that's a very big symbol for him, for his whole story. So like the Dikna is a very big image, which he thinks about a lot, the Tzar and Arizal. And the same way, like, in other words, the going to the bathroom is similar to like cutting off the parts of here, which are already too much, you know? There's a good symptom or a good like, dinim, which he calls, because dinim are very important, because otherwise you don't have any grasp of anything. You need to be able to define things, you need to be able to have images of things. But when it gets too much, then, you know, it turns into the pesel of Baal Pa'ir, which is when you want too much, when you grasp things too much, you end up with the Pa'ir. That's why that's one kind of dinim that we have to take care of, one kind of klippas. But there's also, and these seem to be like, we have to figure out exactly the relationship between the two kinds of viras. But there is another kind of viras, and maybe the second kind are somewhat even more internal or more be'etzem connected to the person. Uvadze yesh be'odam atzmai, over here he seems to say this is the odam hatacht and not the odam atzilis. I'm not sure if he actually means it that way. He says there's five kinds of viras. In other words, everyone who learns Kitzvah Arizal knows that the Arizal has five kinds of Viras, which are known as the five final letters, the five Asiyas Soifiyas of the Aleph Beis. Chavbet, there's 22 letters, which are Chasadim. Letters is always, letters are Kalim, letters are Chasadim, because it's a way of speech. Right? If God is talking to us, it's a way of saying he has 22 letters, 22 ways of speaking. And then there's these five double letters, which are Menatzvah, which means that the thought finished, right? So these are the letters we put at the end of a word, and the mem and the nun and so on. And these are literally like the gvuras of that. Like it's the end or the limit of your speech or the limit of the word. When I finish the word, then there's like a special kind of letter which symbolizes that don't read this, but don't continue on, like stop. So that stop is the way of Arizal conceptualizing Gevuras, and there's five of them, like there's five different Soifiyas. So for some reason, not all letters have that, and nobody knows why, at least I don't know why. But only a mem and a nun and a tzaddik and a pe and a chuf, which if you notice, he went backwards in the order of Aleph Bet, but there's a reason for that, I don't know either. But only those five have these special, different kind of font, right? A different kind of picture of the letter for being at the end of the word. And those are five kinds of viras, or five kinds of limit, or five kinds of tzimtzum that exist in the world. And that is also very, if you count them up, they add up to how many? Par, 280, which is par, the Torah Adim has to do with this. They're very, 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 very big part of that is also Kavanas for sure, and also in his entire understanding of how the world works is based on these five letters, Menatzvah. And he shows them in various places in the body and in various with various gematrias and various mitzvahs and various things. Now there's the major places, and this is important, the major place where he sees them is these five organs, literally, which are the mouth, the nose, the arm, the hand, and the fingers. And the meaning of that is that basically, and it's a, it's going to understand that as this being it's basically the places where the body extends out of itself. So I saw last week in the Twitter that someone making whatever, I'm not gonna get into the whole politics, but there's some people that were understanding that if there's a plague, people wear masks. Someone said that in ancient cultures, the reason why you wear a mask, and this is actually not a new thing. People have been wearing masks for plagues for a long time, although they didn't really have a theory of bacteria and viruses and stuff. And then the way that they explained it was that the body has these holes, has these places where the flippers could come in, basically, or could touch you. So generally your body is closed up. I mean, you have skin and there's some pores and holes in your skin, but it's more or less defended. And then your mouth and your nose are these big gaping holes in your body where all kinds of evil stuff fall in or go out. I mean, it goes both ways, right? If you want a way to get out of yourself, it's also going to be a way of getting into yourself or someone else getting into you. And in that sense, the nose and the mouth are the first two places of goodness. They're places where you touch the outside in a very strong way. And actually, that Izal says right here, when Isaias is looking at himself, and that's actually why around your mouth and your nose somewhat you have here. And actually you have some here in your entire body, which somewhat relates very much to that. It's like on your skin or what's after yourself or where yourself touches the outside. So this is generally true. And that's why we have some, and it's a real question why we don't wash your, there is such a thing. Chitzas Arizal talks about this. In other words, really, so this is a question in Halacha, even, and the Mefarshim are interested in it. In Hilchas Shabbos, we have the idea of Yirchatz Panav Yodav Raglav. The Panav is will be a Peh V'chaitem, and Yodav by your hands, and Raglav by your feet. And Darizal explains that as getting off the clippers from these five locations of Virus. Actually, he skipped the Raglaim here, but he actually, when he talks about fingers, he means the fingers of the feet also, which he's going to say in a second. And interestingly, in the Rambam, actually, in Hilchas Tefillah says that you should do that before davening also. I think it's close to like the Muslim practice of washing your feet, your face and your feet also before davening. And the Kehanim also would do that, right? In the Kiyah. And according to our halacha, at least, we only wash our hand, definitely in the morning. There's only Netilas Yadayim, there's not Netilas Raglayim and Netilas Panim. And the Mefarshim are wondering, actually, why not? The way one of them at least understands it is that it seems that those gvuras are even stronger. So we'll have to get to this in a second. Now, Amnam, I'm gonna read what Arizal says. Amnam, Ele Atzmam, Maniskodim. In other words, these, he always sees it as like there's five bases and then they have all kinds of different hirushim, all kinds of different elaborations where they get into different places. So you could see five as these five different organs. And then these themselves actually somehow get into the Siyamat's place in Sham Yankim Akhtim. In other words, the main place, really, in other words, where do I touch your feet, your nose and your mouth and all of that in your five fingers? So the most dangerous place actually is the hand. And that's like literally what the halacha is, that we have the Netilas Yadayim because Yadayim Askanim is hand. Because in the end of the day, if you think about the reality, so yes, it's true that your mouth is a big area of infection. It's a very big place of things getting into you. As is your nose, and you think about your ears and things like that, your eyes. But in reality, at least in a certain way, your hands are the and your fingers are the things that get all over the place, all of the time. And that's why we have Netilas Yadayim, because your hands are the cheskas not clean. That's like the halacha. In other words, maybe if your head is dirty or if your mouth is dirty, you should wash your hands. But if I come to you, I'm not going to just assume that your mouth is dirty. But I will always assume that your hands are dirty, and that's why we always do Netilas Yadayim actively, proactively, before anything because we assume that they're dirty. In other words, this is the place for the biggest significance of Chitzayim. And the Arizal explains, all this Gviris somehow, their place of the biggest Gilead, their biggest revelation, they're the most obvious and the most directly present in these in your five fingers. And that's why, the Arizal actually explains this in right here or somewhere, that the doesn't say it right here. Then the number 10 exists in the person's body most clearly in his 10 fingers. Everyone knows there's 10 spheres. And over here, he actually doesn't talk about the 10 spheres, which is weird. He talks about 5 spheres. But if you know the Arizal's real way of thinking, you'll understand that to him, these are the 10 spheres in some sense, at least, or 5 chassidim and 5 spheres, really. Which are the, not really the 10 spheres, but the 5 spheres of Zah, which are interesting to us, which are the ones that make the most difference most of the time. And they are the, these menat spach, and the Rizal says, so the Rizal, the way he's understanding is that there's these menat spach, there's two of them, right? So there's two mems, in other words, a mem tukha and mem stumah, and the same thing with the nun and so on. And he always understands one of them as being the chesed of it, and the other one as being the gvira of it. And the way he understands it now is that, he's going to talk about you have to wash both your right hand and your left hand, but that's because we're talking about the za, or at least the za of Masia, and even in the right hand there's some, it's going to touch some things that are not pure, that are not good, so we need to wash both hands. Oh, that's what he said. And the same thing, the people cut it up weirdly. You have your 5 fingers and your feet. In other words, in a certain way, the Arizal sees it, that the differentiation, this big number of 10, which is not really the best way of having things, because there should be only one in the world. But 10 is like the biggest differentiation, the biggest fitter that we can have, the biggest sculpture that could exist. And your hands are the most differentiated part of your body. You have 10 fingers, which are each very different, very separate from each other. And that is because, and there's a good way of saying this, which is that your hands are the place where the 10 spirits are the most revealed, and the Lord is very interested in that way of saying it. And also, that is when he's going to talk about the Berachah and the Tassidah, he's going to talk about that sense. But the first sense, which he's interested in, is in the sense where in which your hands are the worst place of your body, because they get into all kinds of trouble, and those all kinds of trouble are related to your hands being this very, in other words, it's like if you think about the extremities, right? The extremities of your body are the place where you're going to get hurt the first, if it's too cold or too hot or anything like that. So the least defended parts, the first line, like the most outside part, and that's the reason. That's why, and that's what Arizal says, I'm going to understand that there's a mitzvah of Mitzvah Sidayim in the morning, although even if you don't really need to do Mitzvah Sidayim, which in other words, even in a situation which you wouldn't need to do that during the day, you didn't go to the bathroom, you don't know that you touched anything. And because we're talking about Olam Asiya, in which the next step, that's very important, the way we start, and this is the way you start your day, at least in the Arizal world, in Olam Asiya, you're always one step removed from the garbage, like one step away of the klipas. If you were deal already in Olam Atzilus, then you're 4 steps away from the klipas, so that's okay. But Olam Asiya is always one step away from the klipas. So your first move is always going to be to check out the place where the clippers are closest to you and make sure they're not there or wash them away. That's kavanah on the tlasidayim of the morning, which is like the first move, and then we get into that having better ideas also. So this is his answer to what I discussed earlier, that if we read Yifna Vital Yadav as 2 different things, and then Yikra Kirin, Filin, and so on, would make more sense to have Yitna Olam Asiyah, Yitl Yadav Olam HaYetzirah, and then we have Tfilin, which is Olam HaBriyah, Olam HaTzilas. And Darizal says, yeah, I told you that once, but don't get confused, because this is talking about the Zah Sheb Asiyah, which is the Zah corresponds always to Olam HaYetzirah, because you have Nok Asiyah, Zah Yetzirah, Ima Briyah, Abba Atzilas. So that's what I mean to say when I say that it's an Olam HaYetzirah. What I mean to say is Yetzirah Sheb Asiyah, or in other words, Zah Sheb Asiyah. Okay, well, that's relevant only to people that are calculating those things. Anyways, if I doubt this is his first like insight. If I doubt that he has Shirish and Atim, and the Mepharshim are a little confused about this, how it actually matches with the halacha, but his basic idea is that we know that there's four, and if you learn Halachas Tima V'Tahara, there's actually five, because there's also a mess, which is a Vivas Atimah, which is going to say it's not really relevant to this, because a mess is really the clippers themselves. In other words, the mess is really after Olam HaTzilas, what can't be helped at all. But in Tuma, which can be, you can get out of, right? If you're dead, you don't ever become back alive until this gets a medicine. But in this world, you don't get back alive, which is like you're done with. But any other Tuma, you could become back pure. I mean, not the first, the dead person, but the other people could become, get out of it. Anyways. And the Rizal uses this to explain the concept of Rishon LeTuma, Sheni LeTuma, Shlishi LeTuma, and Revi LeTuma, which is that we have Rishon LeTuma is something that touch the which is Rishon LeTuma? Rishon LeTuma is the person that touched not the person the like a sheretz is Rishon LeTuma, I think. I'm not sure. And that's referring to the clippers of Olam HaAtzilus. They're on Olam HaAsiyah, so they're first from the bottom. And we have Sheni LeTuma, which is like. And you have this all needs to be defined much better in the legal way of understanding the difference between clippers in different worlds, where there's some kind of Olam HaAsiyah clippers, some kind of Olam HaYetzirah clippers, some kind of Olam HaBriyah clippers, and so on. And but he just explains it generally, because he wants to explain the concept of the Dilas Yadayim. Chazal said that Yadayim always have a thin of Sheni LeTuma unless they get washed. And that Keshirish LeTuma. Where am I here? I don't remember this so well. In any case, Shanilatum is if you touched or there's food that touched the Tema thing, and then his understanding of this is that in general, for Chulin, that's good enough. In other words, understand. Okay, I'm not sure right now. And then he talks about Tumah being Ba'al Mavriyah, and over there there's so, in other words, if you learn in Sechtes Chagiga and other places, you'll see that relevant to what level of Kedusha, there's relevance to Tumah. In other words, for Chulin, there's three levels really. Generally, there's Chulin, which is doesn't get Tumah from a Shlishi, and then there's Tumah, which does get, and then there's Kodshim, which can get even a shlishi l'tumah, something that touched something that's tumah, can can placelet is a problem for Kutchin. And that's the basic logic. We have the details of this are somewhat confused over here. But the basic logic that Arizal is getting at is that that corresponds to his four worlds, which are, if you're an Olam Atzilus, then you're four levels removed from the Tumah, which is an Olam Atziah, and you still might have some issue relevant to yourself. Relevant, that gets back to what I was saying earlier. Relevant to the Olam Abriyah, that's perfect. So that, in that sense, you don't have a problem with that. That's called Tumah. So for Tumah, if you're in a Shlishi, like the fourth level, Shlishi doesn't do anything for the Gabi Trima, the Olam Abriyah level. But if you're Olam Atzilus level, that's going to bother you. In the same way, Cholm is one level less than that, so it doesn't even get bothered by the Shlishi Trima. It only gets that bothered by the Shani Trima. And that's actually where what we call Yadayim, Tumas Yadayim, which we get Tumas Yadayim from, is related to this second level, which is Olam Ha'Yetzirah. That's why he said, don't get confused when I tell you that's Olam Ha'Yetzirah, because here he says it's Yetzirah Sheba Asiya, which actually has to be understood because he has this whole logic by being the actual four levels. How did he get into that detail? But I don't know the answer to that right now. And anyways, the mess is not relevant to this. Anyways, this is all getting back to our basic understanding where the Nevel Sidayim is getting the last clip off your hands, or actually one before the last, because if you think about it, then the last one is the Yifna. Right? That's his model over here. The real last Tumah, the Tumah itself is Yifna. In other words, if you think about it, you'll see that the halacha of Nevelas Yadayim Shachris has to do with you touching with Shash, that you touched some dirty things or some Tzoya or something else that you would have to wash your hands for. In other words, your hands are already the second level. They're already like Olam Ha'Yetzirah, like one level removed. Just since your hands are actually a higher level than your actual body, your hands need to be cleaner than your body. In other words, your hands are, the problem of your hands is that they might touch something else. And that corresponds to his understanding of where it talks Sheni Lutam Akele, Olam Ha'Yetzirah, where your hands should not be, need to be cleaner than something that touched something dirty. Right, so first we get the dirt itself out, which is Yifna. Then we get your hands clean of that. And then actually, if you think about it, we have to go even deeper and think of what your hands touched, right? Which would be maybe even your mouth and your nose and the other place which you talked about. But it doesn't say that here. But it definitely relates to the next steps of things, which are tzitzis and tefillin, which have to do with the number one, getting, Darizal said this by tzitzis, the first kavanah of tzitzis is to get the clippers off Olam Ha'Yetzirah. So that's like another level. You talk about like your clothing or like whatever film, the kind of clothing or kind of ma'achim. That's like the next level of things. So these are all like stages in getting your body to where it needs to be, getting your body off the clippers and off all of these extremities, which are places where you touch the outside, places where you the closest to the clippers, which are in your hands. And then we understand this concept of what's dirty for you know, like right? What's dirty for one level is actually clean in the lower level, and so on. And that's why we have all these different levels of tumah, which is like sheni, at least something which is bad for kodesh is not bad for tumah. Something which is bad for Tumah is not bad for Chulin. Something which is bad for Chulin is not bad for the Sheretz himself, right? Sheretz himself doesn't have a problem with being a Sheretz, because he's just a Sheretz. And that's really the logic of... It's not a joke. This is actually one of the, like, there's like a tulpul in Shast, I mean, not Paris, a Sheretz, the Kufrin Talmud, and it's based on this. But anyway, so that's his basic understanding of these things. And now just to get back to why you would not wash your feet. And we said the Rambam does want you to wash your feet before Shachris. Some people do that because they go to the mikvah, so you could be able to also shit as a Rambam. Their explanation for this is based on a Zohar and the Idra. And the Idra says something interesting, which is that we have this Chazal somewhere which say three Ervas. It says, let me find the quote. Idris said that there's three things that the Gemara says are erva: kol beisha erva, sar beisha erva, shoyk beisha erva. No, it says, yeah, that's the three things that say tefach beisha erva, really, one that says. Yeah, these are the three kind of ervas that the Gemara recognizes. And then the Zohar says, this is weird, because they found like all these like sideshow things, like hair and voice, and hair and voice obviously correspond to what Arizal is talking about, the hair being one place of dinim, and the voice being connected to the mouth, which is another place of dinim. And the shaykh, not sure what that corresponds to in this, but then the Zohar says that we should have added Yad Beisha Erva, Regel Beisha Erva. In other words, like her hands and feet are obviously maybe even a bigger problem than her hair, right? Like it seems like that. I mean, there's a simple answer for this, which is that doesn't need to be said. But the Zohar says that answer. The Zohar says, because the Zohar is interested in describing the entire body and understanding all of it, the Zohar says, well, of course, hands and feet are not mentioned in the Shas because they are the Erva itself. So like when you say Sar Beisha Erva, really we're saying it's not Erva, right? It also can be understood to be Erva, and therefore be careful. It's obviously not saying that that's Erva itself. And that is actually explains this in where he quotes, where he said in the Idra in the Shana Lirashpi. And he actually explained it in the conception of Buddhas. So since that is understands that every a limit, but every Yetzer Hara, really, like we did talk about, because this starts with the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara means that you receive the limit of a thing without the chesed, without the actual thing. That's where all kind of and the Ezel's language, all kinds of klippas, all kinds of dinim are just beshtalshlis, but they just start with being Buddhist. They just start with being the limitness of things, or the way that things are not something else, which is what we call Buddhist. And then now, the Arizal has this theory of certain gviras being more memutak sometimes, and sometimes the lower ones, because he has a whole theory of how the very different stories about the three first, the last two gviras when they, which are the what do you call them here? The first two, called that over here now, the Mem and Nun of the Natsvach, are a lot more nimtak than the last three. Although they're really technically much, much bigger than this, or much, much worse. In other words, in some way, the smaller problems become bigger problems, right? Because then they didn't get taken care of. So we don't talk about the Yad Beisha being Erva or the Regel Beisha being Erva, because those are taken care of. In other words, they're covered up usually. Or in other words, yeah, that's the pshat. But although they're the most important part technically, they're the real Erva, the real dinim, which is called Erva here, because Erva just means it's out of place, or it's being taken in the wrong way. And it's actually the smaller parts. In other words, the dinim hayosin and tukim, which get in the way more. So the like the Zohar says, the first three, or the Arizal called them the tzadik pechof of menatzbach, which are connected to the how do they say it here? Over here, in the way he says it here, it would be talked about the the hands, right? The fingers is the one that he's interested in here, which are actually the smaller gvuras. The first three are, no, it's backwards, that's what I'm saying. Let's figure it out again. Yeah, so I'm not entirely mad with that. But basically what I'm saying is that the reason we talk about Nitalas Yadayim, not about Nitalas Raglayim, is mostly, at least in this way, because we assume that your feet are clean. In other words, if they would actually be dirty, then of course you should wash them. And of course, maybe in some sense, even those, depends on the reality, maybe, and talk about why the Kehanim do have the Chitzas Raglayim in the Kehanim. But it's after the ones that are in your hands, which are actually less problematic. In other words, because when we tell you to wash your hands and you go like, well, my hands are clean, and we tell you, well, I'm not sure, right? That's like me telling you there are some koil beisha erva, although you say, well, it's not. But we do understand that because it's actually less, obviously, than the real thing, or than the more real things, it becomes the place where you need to be more careful. Whereas the place the what the Zohar calls Yad B'Sha'ar or Regel B'Sha'ar, like what we talk about now, about in Erev Shabbos, we do have an idea of Chitzas Panav Yadav Raglav, is actually trying to fix the actual problem. Although it's trying to actually, that's what the official says, trying to clean the place where there's real dirt, where there's real gvuras. And that's something which, at least according to our halacha, you can't really take care of every day. Maybe Erev Shabbos, that's what he says. Maybe Erev Shabbos you can do that or maybe if you're a kohen, which is like a different level of thing, maybe you can do that. But if you're just you're just a simple guy, then you could do Netilas Yadayim, but you can't do Netilas Raglayim. So that's all the story of the action of the act of Netilas Yadayim of cleaning your hands. And then after that, we have to get into the kavana of the bracha of Netilas Yadayim, which is in the Arizal's build and the Arizal structure, an entire different level of things. So like, yeah. But that's as far as I can get for now.
So you were saying before someone else about to ask. You were saying before about the kind of like idea of the confusing of the tumah right in your hands. Does it use that language explicitly? Like, it made me start to think of on Rosh Hashanah we say, right, that the Satan gets confused by the shofar. And then we're talking about Arech, so I was wondering if there's a connection there. Maybe not.
Well, in the Arizal's language, the vowel bless Hasatim just means, again, you know, pushing away the clippers, right? The concept of confusion, oh, because over there it's like, it says something like that, like,
Bilbel to Satan
or something. Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Twice to, I'm not sure what Arizal's chat on that is right now, but, it's kind of related, so, let me think. If you want to translate it into something like not leaving any space, that might work. In other words, like we have this Bas Melech Shekifetzes, like, in other words, it's not really a confusion. That's what I would say. Like it's the right. Trick is really, the trick is really has a meaning in this way of understanding. It's not like, you thought that, in other words, and you thought that you had a good question. Because usually, in other words, usually when we do anything, usually we don't trick anyone. In other words, usually you're like, I'll give it like the, there's something to this, but it has to be defined better over here. But for example, usually when you're like, let's give an example, like usually, silly, like Derech Avodah, but I mean it as a metaphor. Like usually when you're someone does tshuva, for example, like I'm gonna stop, I'm gonna stop doing some stupidity that I do. The Yetzirah doesn't get confused at all. That's the big thing. Like you have to realize the big thing of the Vavlus Hasatan is that he's usually not involved at all. He knows his game very well. He's like, yeah, you've done it 2,000 times. I'm not confused. In other words, I'm just jumping to the next ledge, right? What are the, yeah. That's like the story. Like, yeah, I'll be waiting, you know? Okay. I know it's a Shkodesh Elul, whatever, you're doing tshuva. I know that if I give a little elbow back, friends, so you know, I'll be here, right? And then the Leval Bas HaSotin is like, wait, I got you there too, right? Like you're blowing shofar when you're sitting, that's like the image, right? Okay, we're blowing shofar, like, all right, I know this game. I'll go to the next, I'll go to the next shelf. That's, and then suddenly you're blowing shofar there too. And like, wait, and what over here it goes one more time, right? And like, all right, I'll go back to the lower place. I'm like, wait, we're there again. So according to that, we're after blow circuit three times, but we don't really do that. I mean, maybe we do, but not like halacha. That's the basic like image that I have of this. Or in a slightly more that's the like external way of saying it. If you want to say it in the technical sense, you would say something much more simple. You would say that. You know, I could cut off a tree, but as long as its roots are still there, I didn't fool anyone. It's just going to grow right back. But you need to go one level deeper and cut off its roots. And then sometimes that even there's a third level, which is like, you know, beyond the roots or some, maybe there's a guy that's going to plant another tree or whatever, however you want to conceptualize it. And I need to get that guy out of the way also. And that's really how the Mepharshim would usually understand something like this, where they would say there's like three levels, let's say, of Tumma, like, against Chesed Peres, or that he's all going to say three hands and so on. In other words, when you wash your hands once, you got past one level, like maybe similar to what we were saying about the four elements. Like, okay, so you're not Tumah for Olam Asiya, you're fine. For Chulin, you're fine. But there's still the existence of the same problem on the next level. You have to do it again. And then you have to do it a third time until you get all three levels. So you got it at the like more subtle level of the problem, or the like root level of the problem. That's how it doesn't go to come back. But that doesn't actually answer why you have to do it the sirugin, right? Why it has to be one and one? Why can't we just do three straight? It could be answered like that if you want, because we could say something like. something like that. If you see like the right hand is chesed, the left hand is gevura, something like that, you would say, let's say there's three levels in that, which there are, but we need to define if it makes sense with this. Like Shebri, Yitzira, Siyah, Chesed, for example, and you say, if you do just that, then you'll still have the whole Gevura, and it's going to be harder to get rid of it. But if you do slowly, you'll do the Siyah, Chesed, then the Siyah, Gevura, and then the Yitzira, Chesed, then Yitzira, Gevura, and so on. That's a better way of doing it. That's probably the way that the Farshim of the Arizal would understand things like this. But I still like the way of getting it to jump and like finally giving up better. The juggling story, like, but that would be the meaning of it technically. Like, I'm sure someone says that over here. Let's see.
I also know in at least it says in the Sibda Shorsha Avoda, he recommends washing your hands a fourth time to wash off the water that you used from the first three.
Yeah, that has to do with something. I don't know.
It might be different.
No, Darizal doesn't have that, but it's like a halacha right. Thing. There's some. Yeah, the Rashash has some explanation of this, but a different one, of the six times. Very different explanation, actually. But it still has to do with balancing it, with having a balance, like with doing one level at the next level. I don't see actually anyone saying this. Yeah, I thought someone was, but we'll find it somewhere. It's a concept. My other image for that would be doing two different kinds, not being consistent. That's the trick, but don't tell anyone. So consistency is a huge problem because it means that your enemies know exactly where to find you.
You have to be unpredictable.
And unpredictability is actually a huge strategic advantage because it means that nobody knows where to find you. And that's why, yeah, that's like a whole other thought. I don't know what it has to do with until you're dying, but it has to do with the general way things work in life. It's like, I'll tell you the way. In other words, a pikabala would be like this. So one big pitfall in is people that are very ideological and very, very consistent with themselves, which means that. And the problem with this is not that that you should not be consistent. The problem with this is, like I'm saying, that you become very predictable. And when you become very predictable, well, the Yetzer is a very good way of conceptualizing things, which is that Every ideology has a way of turning into something bad. That's the big problem. So you could be chesed, I'm shittas and chesed. That's like the story of the Shmira, which we talk about often. Like whatever shit that you'll take to yourself, whatever, like I am always, whatever it is, and it doesn't really matter what. There's none that escape this problem. There's always a way to manipulate it into becoming the opposite of what it set out to do. Right? Like all kind of simple contradictions. In other words, everything has a contradiction in some sense. You know, you could be, I'm about pushing away, you know, like being very exclusive and pushing away everything that doesn't 100% match with the pure truth that I believe in. And then you end up pushing away yourself, right? Or pushing away the good part. Or same thing in the opposite, right? You could be all accepting of everything and then you're going to be accepting of someone that's going to destroy you. And that's not the point, unless you want to be destroyed. And so on, with every other way, you could be pro, whatever. And anything that's taken extremely coherently can become, in other words, it doesn't need to become. I don't see, I'm not saying that the ideology in itself has that. What I'm saying, that's why I use the Yetzirah as like another person that does that. It means that someone that knows you, someone that knows your game very well, can set up a trap. Right? It's called the adversarial example in like machine learning, right? If I know how the computer is going to react, there's a way to get it to say, you know, like, you know, when Microsoft had their AI Twitter thing, and like after 3 days it was saying Heil Hitler or something, because someone figured out how to put it deterministic, because someone figured out how to get it to say that, and it's not so complicated. The trick of not getting into that is to have a few ideologies, you know, like the guy that said, I have opinions, if you don't like them, I have other ones. But it's really, if you do like them, I have other ones. That's bad. So in other words, if you're coming to my right hand, then I'll be on the left. If you go on the left, I'll be on the right. And after doing that a few times, the guy gives up. And what that really means is that there's a middle, which I have in mind. That's like, there's a middle hand. And the Rizal talks about this. There's really three hands. The whole story about people only have two hands is fake. There's really three hands. Well, you really have three hands. The third hand is in your mind. It's the Kavim Tsoi. It's really in your mind. In other words, those two hands are both supposed to do something. And if you forget about the third hand, then you're in trouble. It says that the klipa doesn't have das. There's no third. There's no kavim tsoi. There's only two malchim in the klipa. There's only chachma. No, there's no das. Or only ches and gura, not the teres. Which is what we're something we're referring to. So when you have a third hand, then you could always be in a different place. You know, when you think that I'm going to be accepting, I'm going to be non-accepting. And if you think I'm going to be non-accepting, because I didn't forget what I'm here for, because I know where I'm trying to get at, then all of these things are really just tools, are really just ways to get there. So I didn't sign my name to always follow a certain rule. There isn't any predictable rule besides for the goal. That's where the real point of all of that. That would be a better way of understanding this whole jumping back and forth business.
It makes you think of something we've discussed in previous shirim, right? This idea that the Arizal says really all these kavanot are just for one day.
You'll jump to the next side.
You'll do a different type of kavanah the next day, exactly.
Yeah, someone. Well, that I don't remember what we said about that, but yeah.
I think when we discussed that, we were talking about the idea that Adam Arishon had a vote to do also, meaning tikkun is not necessarily the end.
I guess that's one way of talking about that. Yeah. There's other ways.
For other days.
Yeah, exactly. There's other ways for other days. Yeah, it's a good question if you could actually surprise yourself, but that was what it would be about. Like surprising yourself would be actually, this has got nothing to do with what we're learning, but it would be actually breaking out of a certain cycle. Like the whole story of Shvira and Tikkun is kind of boring at this point. Like, okay, we know that already. Let's do something else. Yeah, that's the story.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. I have to get to one to Nasir Vine, but yeah.
It looks juicy. Pamaba.
Yeah, okay. And we got this story with the different... like whenever you touch somebody's hand, which maybe you don't do these days, it's like a whole problem. Like you have to make sure to get the right manatz bach, otherwise it's all. Darizal literally has kavanas for kissing your mother's hand and so on, which are related to this. So, yeah. Hands are dangerous things. Okay, well, we'll stop.